want to make sure to let everybody know I appreciate the opportunity and the privilege to stand before you to present God's Word. This is my second Sunday in a row, second Lord's Day, and I see the task, and it's one that I've been wanting to and excited about doing, delivering God's Word to you. And I think any of us men that are able to stand before you, we look forward to this. We look forward to breaking the bread of life with you and sharing it. And I can only get a glimpse of what Brother Rex did all those years and how eager and excited he was and the challenges that were presented and the problems that he faced. But certainly to be able to present the Word of God year after year throughout his life and service to the Lord, it's such an encouragement to me. Not to mention to have his, and I hope he doesn't mind me continuing to speak some things, but to have his experience as being an elder and being a shepherd of the flock there at Tebow Street, certainly appreciate him living up to that call and being able to make some of those decisions and lead and guide the church. And Frankie there standing by him all those years, they're such a great encouragement to all of us. I think you ladies have so many good things in our sister Frankie that we could gather and be encouraged of. But again, continuing on with this lesson, this idea from last Sunday about shepherds and overseers, elders, it is clearly something that Scripture notes. It is clearly something Scripture calls us out to reason, to gather together in our memory and our minds, and to study and to sink them in our hearts so that we might better serve the Lord and might better be His people. I don't know that I completely explained everything last week. I certainly hit on the larger parts of why we have elders, of what they do, and what Scripture says about them. However, there are some things today I want to present a little further on, if time permits, that we all can take to heart. Us older men, those of us who are children, and even those of us who are wives and ladies of this congregation, we all need to take these things to heart. It's not just that, okay, we have a group of men that might be able to be elders, let them deal to it, let them see to it. We ought not to take that approach or that attitude. And I think you'll see by the end of the lesson what I mean here. But I think this task, this job, this duty that we have to present those things that are lacking and to have elders in every church, that's what the Lord wants. That's what the Lord desires in that body. And if the Lord is the head of the church, as we talked about last week, and we are members of the body in particular, let us seek to grow into that head. Let us seek to not only grow ourselves into that head, but also to grow as part of the body of Christ here in Hoboken, to be what He wants us to be. And I believe that presents to us that we got to be a family. We've got to be closer and closer and grow closer and closer together to be that body of Christ here in Hoboken that we need to be. Now, some of us coming in may think, well, there's so-and-so, they're going to be added to the group. All right, that's good to know them. And their sister so-and-so, she said she wants to be here, part of the work. That's great. Good, we'll join her and we'll add her. And that's how sometimes we look at members of the body of Christ. Instead of, what can I do now to encourage this new one who has come amongst us? Or what can I do now to help this one grow spiritually? What can I do now to help guide this one along so that, number one, they can be closer to God and be more of an encouragement to me, but more importantly, to glorify God in their lives. But number two, what can I do to help grow closer to them? Sometimes we don't see each other as particularly that member of the body of Christ that we are. Some of us are close together because some of us are hands, some of us are forearms, some of us are closer because some of us are feet, and some of us are shin bones. So I think we all understand that the body cannot be independent. The body must grow together. Or if it doesn't grow together, it's going to be a weak or impossible body. You have to grow together. So I believe elders are one of those ways that the Lord wants the church to grow. We read there in Numbers chapter 11, and we'll get to that in just a minute, but some important things in Scripture from the Old Testament I think sometimes the Lord's people overlook. I think, you know, we think, well, that's the law of Moses, and we don't really need to pay attention to what the law of Moses tells us. We need to pay attention particularly to the law of Christ. I think when we look also in the things that Galatians speaks about, the law was a tutor to help bring us to Christ. I know full well that we can look at the Old Testament, the things that we have under the law of Moses to study by, that they will help us grow closer to the Lord. They will help us today if we study them. If we look at the Old Testament and say, I see that application. I can make application in my life. I know for a fact they're there for that reason. They're not just there to know, well, this old people of God, they messed up, but now we have a better law. Let's forget about that old law and let's serve the new law. A lot of people look at the Old Testament that way. So I'll be bringing out some Old Testament scriptures to apply to elders that we need to take into consideration. And I'll get to that in just a minute. But when you look at the idea of pastors, elders, shepherds, what do you see? What kind of attitude ought to come with that? Is it just that those men who are qualified, who may have a possibility of becoming elders one day, who are in line of doing that, then they need to have an attitude toward it, that they need only to make themselves right? Is that the approach that Scripture wants us to have about elders, about shepherds and overseers? Or is there something more individual for each one of us that we need to consider about elders, about our attitudes toward elders? Some of us young, some of us old. What ought to be our attitudes? Does Scripture tell us that we need to consider and think about those who will be rulers and overseers over us? Well, let's look in a little bit more and try to answer that question. We know that Paul and the apostles and Scripture also tells us the attitude of anything that we do ought to be that we want to be pleasing to God. We want to make it our aim to please Him, to press on. 2 Corinthians 5:9, Paul would say there, I make it my aim, whether in the body or absent, to be pleasing to Him. Also, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, those of us who are concerned about spiritual things, concerned about the church here in Hoboken, that we want to help the Lord to, as it says there in Ephesians 5:27, present a glorious church without spot or blemish. We have a goal. We want that to be our goal, that whatever happens in this church amongst us, that we want to present it without spot or blemish. That's how the God of our Lord Jesus Christ wants it. That's how our God wants this church to be, without spot or blemish. So again, the attitude, I believe, of us only saying, well, those who are elders, let them look into that work and let them look into that mindset. I don't want to deal with it. I'm just a lady here. I'm just a woman. I'm never going to be an elder. I can't fit those qualifications, so therefore I'm not even going to worry about it. Well, I think every member of the Lord's body here in Hoboken needs to be concerned about this. We don't need to just let those who are strong and those who can preach the Word in readiness and easiness, let them deal with it, and I'll sit back and I'll make my attendance on Sundays and Wednesdays. That can't be our attitude. If we look into the gospel and the Lord has purchased us and bought us and such a great price so that we might be the Lord's people, we need to develop, each of us individually, us young brethren, us older sisters, we need to develop an attitude to where we want this church to be without spot or blemish. Each of us as part of the body of Christ. Could you imagine your hand or your ear saying, I want to be dirty today. I don't care about the rest of the body. You know, Kevin might have washed his body in the shower and he might be clean, but you know, I just want to be a dirty ear. Sometimes I just want to take care of myself and that's the way I want to be. Can you imagine the ear saying that? But yet sometimes as Christians, we look at the church that way and say, well, brother so-and-so, they're able to get up and present material and they're able to get up and effectively give a speaking on what God's Word says and they're able to lead the class that we're having, or they're able to go out and have studies, or they're able to go out and participate in debates. I'm just good enough for just sitting around. And I know where my faith is. I believe in God, and I think I'm okay there. Again, the spleen has a function. Your toenails have functions. Every part of your body has a function. And it's to contribute so that body can healthily continue to be a body and not fall apart and not rot and not get disease. So every piece of the body is concerned about that body. It's concerned about what's going on, and it's concerned about how it is doing. When you apply that to the soul, we need to take part. Every individual, as Ephesians says, for the growth of the body, for the edifying of itself in love, till we all come to the unity of the faith. And so on from there. We'll get to that in just a little bit, but we all need to be concerned. When you look there at the Old Testament elders, we read in Numbers chapter 11, Keeping this idea about what kind of attitude all of us, not just the men who are qualified, what attitude ought we have to elders, let's pay attention to what the Old Testament tells us. We're not going to go into every scripture, for certainly there's a lot to be reckoned with about elders of Israel. But here in Numbers chapter 11, Brother Lawton read that real well for me. There in verse 14. I want us to look there, however, before we go into those verses that Lawton had mentioned. And we'll see there, look at verse 11 there of chapter 11. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you afflicted your servant, and why have I not found favor in your sight, that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom, as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers'? Where am I to go get meat to give all the people? For they weep all over me, saying, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I'm not able to bear all these people alone," there, verse 14, "because the burden is too heavy for me." Now notice, when we talk about elders, we don't talk about one single elder. One single elder, I think the Old Testament is clear on saying that. The New Testament as well we'll get to, but the Old Testament is clear. Moses was not able himself alone to lead the people. He said, "This burden's too great. God, how am I able to lead this people to the land that you promised them? I can't do it." So if Moses was in the position of a leader, of an overseer of the children of Israel, of a shepherd of the flock, that God had given that responsibility to him, he said, "I can't do it alone." So then, verse 15, it says, "If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. If I found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness." The Lord responds to him. The Lord tells him then, if that's the case, he says there in verse 17 or verse 16, "So the Lord said to Moses, 'Gather me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you.'" Now this is wisdom of God given to us to apply to what we're talking about today. This is excellent and wonderful, because Moses is not only instructed just to gather men. Moses is instructed to gather elders whom he knows are officers of the people and leaders of them, to bring them before God. And God's going to remedy this situation that apparently Moses has. Moses is not able to lead the people, so therefore God is going to help him in this situation. It's not good that the people ought to be by themselves at all. God's going to be their king, but they need a leader. So Moses here is saying, "I can't do it," and God says, "You do this then, and we'll do that." So that you go on and look and see, as the elders are gathered together, look down there with me in verse 24, we've already read, "Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered the 70 men of the elders, the people, and placed them around the tabernacle." And then notice what happens. "Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took of the Spirit that was upon him and placed the same upon the 70 elders." So those men that Moses had selected, whom he knew to be leaders of the people, they received the Spirit of God. And apparently, it looks like there in verse 26 that there were two men who didn't go, Eldad and Medad. They stayed in the camp, but the other elders were there with them. And for whatever reason, they were at the camp, but they should have been. They were in the number. They were named as part of that group, but they had stayed behind. Well, it looks apparently that a young man there in verse 27 ran and told Moses, "These two men, Eldad and Medad, are prophesying. They're bringing God's word. The Spirit has come upon them." And then Joshua, the son of Nun. This is one of those that we're studying now in the book of Joshua on Wednesday nights. Notice what he says. Forbid them. "Moses, my Lord, forbid them. Let them not do this." But notice with me what Moses points out here. "Then Moses said to him, 'Are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would put his Spirit upon them.'" Why would Moses say that? Well, first of all, notice there with me his thought. "Are you zealous for my sake? Do you mean to tell them to stop me so that I might keep my power?" That's what Moses is saying there in that first part. He's really telling them, I don't desire to stop them. I don't desire that they stop prophesying, and the Spirit here, I can't resist the Spirit anyway. I know Moses thought that. Moses had to know the power of the Spirit of God, and he couldn't resist it. But furthermore, he would go on to say one more tidbit of fact. "Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put His Spirit upon it." We can get a lot of information out of these thoughts that we gather from what Moses is saying. But God wants all His people to be spiritual. Moses wanted the Spirit to rest upon all of Israel. It would have been a wonderful thing, Moses said, if the Spirit of God had rested upon all of Israel and that they prophesied. But that just weren't the case. It was going to be enough that God would meet the request of Moses and have these elders clearly to start leading. What a wonderful thing that these elders finally were before God and that the Spirit rested upon them. Now, transfer that to us today, those of us who will be elders. Don't we want the Spirit of God for those who we know are leaders, those that we know are trying to get to that point, who are desiring the office, don't we want them to be a people that have the Spirit of God rest upon them? And I'm not talking about the Spirit and its influence, about speaking in tongues, about healing, about all those things were in the New Testament. They are not of us today. But to be able to rightly divide the word of truth, to be able to rightly handle every situation that comes along, and for them to be able to know God's word. These elders that were mentioned here, and we'll get to in Deuteronomy. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 19. And while you're turning there, I want you to gather these thoughts. The elders of Israel, they had to decide matters. They had to decide certain situations when they came along. They were there for that purpose, to help Moses lead, to decide, to gather together what needed to be done for the children of Israel. They also made judgments. They made decisions that affected other people. They weren't just there to look and say, look, there's our elder, brother so-and-so, or this man here, he's our elder. Look at how great, wonderful, he's on a pedestal. They actually had a reason for being an elder of Israel. Look there with me, Deuteronomy chapter 19. I just want to, for the sake of time, look at Deuteronomy. Elders are mentioned throughout the Old Testament, and for great reason. I think it would be a great study for anyone here if they wanted to go and look back on the elders of the Old Testament, to see what they went through, to see what they did, to see how they performed, to see how they might have failed, and certainly some of them did fail. But notice there with me, Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 12. Begin there with me and read. And this is the instance of someone hating his neighbor and striking him and killing him so that he dies. Verse 11 says there, and he flees to one of these cities, being a city of refuge. Verse 12 says, then the elders of the city shall send and bring him from there and deliver him over to the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die. The elders here of a certain city, a sea of refuge, when one of those people who came and they purposefully killed somebody and then fled to that city, they were to give them over. So the elders had a task here to do, at least of the cities of refuge. Chapter 21, turn there with me. Look at verses 1 through 6. If anyone is found slain, a few verses over, chapter 21, verses 1 through 6 of Deuteronomy. If anyone is found slain, lying in the field, in the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess, and it is not known who killed him, then your elders and your judges shall go out and measure the distance from the slain man to the surrounding cities. Notice again there in verse 3, and it shall be that the elders of that city nearest to the slain man will take a heifer which has not been worked and which has not been pulled with a yoke. The elders of that city shall bring the heifer down to a valley with flowing water, which is neither plowed nor sown, and they shall break the heifer's neck there in the valley. And down there in verse 6 now, after the priests have performed their duty, there in verse 5, verse 6 says, and all the elders of that city nearest to the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer whose neck was broken in the valley. Then they shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, nor have our eyes seen it. Provide atonement, O Lord, for your people Israel, whom you've redeemed, and do not lay innocent blood to the charge of your people Israel. And atonement shall be provided on their behalf of the people. So the elders, again, were to have a big position, because it was through them obeying what God had said, doing what God had said, and being those people who were chosen to go out, they were to make atonement for these people when a body was found out in the field and nobody knew who killed it. The elders of the city, the elders of those peoples nearest to that body, were to go and make atonement and ask for atonement, not to make atonement, but ask the Lord to provide atonement. Chapter 21, verse 19. Verse 18 first, this law talked about a rebellious child. Elders of the city had authority and needed to take authority over this situation as instructed by the Lord. If there was one who had a rebellious son who would not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of the city, and they shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious, he will not obey our voice, he is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. It doesn't say that the elders were to stone him alone. It says all the men of the city were to stone him. But the elders here again had part in stoning of a rebellious son who wouldn't listen. The elders of the city had to take part in that. God wanted them to take part in that. We see here a great pattern of the elders taking part in something that was considered rebellion or considered an evil or considered something that needed to have atonement. The elders had great capacity in the Old Testament. We could go on and look in Deuteronomy chapter 22, the next chapter over, there in verses 15 through 21, and when a man found that his wife wasn't pure and chaste and unkept from things that a marriage should only have, then this man there through verses 15 through 21 was to take this woman before the elders. And the parents of those of that woman was to go also to the elders and make their case whether or not this woman was chaste and pure or whether she had become defiled outside of marriage. The elders had part in that. There also chapter 25, a few more chapters over, Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 7 through 10. If you'll notice there with me, the idea about a man taking his brother's wife when his brother dies, not to let the bloodline of his brother pass out. He was supposed to take his brother's wife and marry her and provide children for his brother through his wife since the brother was dead. And that's the way God wanted those things done. And if it happened that the brother did not want to take the wife, he had to take that case to the elders of the city. It says there in verse 7, "But if a man does not want to take his brother's wife, and let his brother's wife go up to the gate to the elders and say, 'My husband's brother refuses to raise up a name to his brother in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother.' Then the elders of his city shall call him and speak to him. But if he stands firm and says, 'I do not want to take her,' then his brother's wife shall come to him in the presence of the elders, remove his sandal from his foot, spit in his face, and answer and say, 'So shall it be done to the man who will not build up his brother's house.'" So the elders here were to do some pretty nasty things. I say nasty, but to exercise judgment against this one who would not do what God had commanded. So the elders, again, having a situation they needed to be a part of. Not just everybody in the city. Not just all the women that thought this was a bad situation. This man has to take that woman. He's a scum if he don't. Or not all the men saying, "You know, I had to do this. This is what we required, so you need to do it too." Not all the men or the women, but a particular group of people, the elders, needed to hear that situation and do certain things. We could go on and look in chapter 27, verse 1. Moses commanded the elders of the people to keep, and that's important. Chapter 27, verse 1, turn over there with me. Moses here with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, "Keep all the commandments which I command you today, and it shall be on the day when you cross over the Jordan to the land which the Lord your God is giving you, that you shall set up for yourselves large stones and whitewash them with lime." And again, those stones set up, and then it talks about Mount Ebal. Moses was giving what God had said along with the elders to the people. The elders were there before they crossed over the Jordan. The elders took part in that. The elders of Israel this time, not just of a city, but the elders of Israel. Again, chapter 31, we're almost done with these points, but I want to make a strong case for this, and then we'll reckon some things out of it. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 9. Moses wrote this law and delivered it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. So the elders got a portion of the law. They got the writing that was delivered to them as well, so that they would know that law and be able to use it and make these decisions that we already talked about and others that God would instruct them to take. The elders weren't to be without knowledge. They had to know. They had to be well-grounded and be able to make decisions based on what God's Word says. They were to, in effect, what Moses said, help him in his job. He couldn't do it all. So the Lord said, "You get elders whom you know to be leaders of the people, and then you put them over them." So again, Moses requested this, and God benefited the people. He gave that to the people. One more thought. Deuteronomy chapter 31 there in verse 28. Moses here commanded the Levites to take the book of the law there in verse 26, put it beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God that may be there as a witness against you, for I know your rebellion, your stiff neck. If today, while I'm yet alive with you, you have been rebellious against the Lord, then how much more after my death? Then Moses would say, "Gather to me all the elders of your tribes and your officers that I may speak these words in their hearing and call heaven and earth to witness against them. Now gather me the elders, and let me speak to them because I'm going to witness against them as well." Moses wanted them to know this law is what you need to have before you. This is something you need to use. Don't rebel against it. Moses again speaking there to the elders of the children of Israel. I think we did a good study throughout the Old Testament and looked at the idea of an elder and what it was, or elders and what they were. We see a lot of similarities to what the New Testament says for the church of the Lord today. That the elders today, in effect, do a lot of the things, not see and oversee about a rebellious son and stone him, not take a case against another man who's found an impurity in his wife and make a judgment on that. But the elders in the New Testament are to oversee spiritual matters. And believe it or not, those things that were physical that the law of Moses told the elders to do, they were really spiritual cases of how God wanted them to handle those things. But again, they were in physical ways. They dealt physically with the people rather than from a heart-to-heart basis. And we know when the Lord came on the scene, He came to fulfill the law and to really teach what it was about. Remember with me in Matthew chapter 5 of those things, blessed are these, blessed are that. The Lord was saying, My law shall be a spiritual law. I'm not going to give you commandments that you do this deed, you do this deed, you do that deed, you do that deed. You back up 7 times, you jump forward and you jump on a... The Lord wanted a spiritual people, a spiritual oversight over His church. And that's the difference. We see a lot of good that the elders had to be a part of. Today, the elders of the Lord's church are to be a part of a lot of good things. They have a lot of oversight. They have a lot of things that they need to take part in, and we'll see that. But the idea of an elder is not a new thing, and it's most certainly not something that is going away. Scripture points out we must have those. But again, New Testament elders, how much more of a spiritual kingdom are they in now than that physical kingdom that the Old Testament elders were in? Notice with me, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, that they are in a heavenly kingdom. It's much more weighty now than it was before under that physical kingdom of Israel. There were laws and ordinances and rules to abide by. Also, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, that the Lord has made us to sit in heavenly places. Again, the idea of elders ruling over the kingdom that is spiritual, it's a heavenly kingdom. It cannot be dealt with on a physical level like the Old Testament. It cannot be dealt with according to the wisdom of the world, how the world would deal with things. Elders cannot deal with things based on what other nations, figuratively speaking, would do. The Old Testament people of Israel were not to follow after those nations around them. Elders today in the Lord's church are not to follow how other churches are doing things necessarily. How they get committees, how they get boards to have oversight, and how they work with other churches and answer to other churches. Elders are to shepherd the flock of God among them. We'll get a little bit more into that. But again, notice this idea about elders and our attitude toward them. They have an important work. They have a meaning and they have tasks and they have things they need to get done. What does that entail for us? They will be involved with many things. Not just making Bible study material. Not just saying we need to have this class, we need to have that class. Why do you have Bible studies in the first place? It's to make sure that you have spiritual study from the Word of God so that your souls grow and there's benefit and so that teaching against false doctrine can happen so that we can all grow to the Lord. Again, Ephesians chapter 4 says, the Lord gave some to be pastors. And again, that idea of pastors is overseer. It's not an evangelist. It's not one that speaks from the pulpit. It's a shepherd. It's an elder. So again, these elders are not just going to have Bible study material ready. They're not just going to make sure that there's a teacher in position to make sure to teach the class or to make sure that a preacher's in the pulpit. Elders are going to be making spiritual judgments. They're going to be making spiritual decisions. They're going to make deep, deep decisions that affect us individually. If that's the case, what ought our attitude to be? The children of Israel, when they had elders to rule over them, what should their attitude have been? They had to deal with the elders. They had to actually go and be with the elders on certain occasions and make things happen based on what God's Word says before the elders. This wasn't something that the children of Israel could just do off on their own and not have to worry about it. No, they had to deal with the elders. Certainly the Lord's people also. If the Lord gave us elders so that we all might grow in the unity of the faith into the knowledge of the perfect man, then we'll need to deal with them. In deciding matters that affect us, the elders of the church in Hoboken here may have to ultimately lead the church in withdrawing from a sister or a brother family. And that's a physical thing, but that's more of a spiritual thing if that happens. Or one of us that's been with us for a while. When we have elders, we may have to withdraw from them. The elders may say, we don't need to keep company with this wayward brother. He needs to be ashamed. That's a hard decision. There may also be things where brethren come in or other people come in from out of the community saying they're Christians and there's doctrine that's there that's being taught that's wrong. The elders will have to make a stand about that doctrine that's being taught. They can't let it go on. Those kinds of things affect us. There's going to be several things, many things that the elders have to take part in, as well as the growth of the body of Christ here, as well as the study, as well as the encouragement, the exhortation. What ought to be our attitude? Well, first of all, that question, what ought to be our attitude, let's consider that with the bubble of a church and what it is. We all know that we talked about last week about how the Lord is our head and that we are part of that body growing up into the head. If we take and just looked at it from the aspect of, well, we are a church gathered together to be the Hoboken church here that meets of our Lord, well, we know, we've already talked about that the Lord intends this in every church. Titus was told to gather up those things that are lacking and appoint elders in every church. That's why he was left in Crete, Paul would say there in the first chapter. Titus, you were there to appoint elders in every church because they're lacking. Well, to us, the church that meets here in Hoboken, if we realize those things are lacking, what ought to be our attitude about that? What ought to be our goal and our desire for those things that are lacking? Well, help out with that process. If you know something's lacking in your own personal life, don't you try to make it right? Why not the spiritual side of things that you're a part of this church in? If things are lacking, you can help. You women that are there, you children that are there, I know some of you children may not be even understanding what we're talking about, but be working toward that. Yes, there are lists and qualifications, and there are things that God says, these people can't be elders, these people need to be elders, those amongst you who labor and rule over you. That's good. That's exactly what we need to be concerned about. But how do you get there? How do you get to those qualifications? These men need to be the ones that handle them. But also, what is your part? What are you doing to help make sure that those men are getting there? Do each one of us have a hand in that? Absolutely. Absolutely. When we see those who might be standing apart, going toward that work, desiring it, help them. Those of us in young men's Bible class, you young ones, Landon, Lawton, and I don't want to point everybody out, but you know what I'm talking about when we meet on the second Sundays. What's your position in there? It's there to learn and to be encouraged. It's there to build yourself up. Also, you older adults that are there, you older men, what are you doing there? Well, what's your attitude if you don't come, if you don't show up and say, well, you know, that's really so-and-so's job and they're doing a good job of it. I'm really not going to have any say whatsoever. And really, if I'm there, it's not going to make an impact. Brethren, I disagree with you. Those in the young men's training class who want to lay forth that effort and build up those young men, yeah, truly, there are some there who want to be elders that are doing that, but also you can encourage those who are taking part in that class to grow up that church. Guess what these young fellows are doing? Hopefully, these young fellows are going to get in that path of one day being an elder themselves. You can take part in that. That this younger generation coming behind us that are going to be obeying the gospel, you can take part in training them through these things that we do together to be an elder one day. It may not happen for years. But when you say questions like, what good am I going to do going to this study or that? You miss the opportunity. When the Lord says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. We know all men ought to have done good with. We know we ought to do good with those people. But at the same time, especially the household of faith, we can help the young one day reach that goal of desiring the work of an elder. We can reach those now who are helping in those classes to lead and to teach, to be a part of that. Invitations, singing and prayers. What can we do when young men or even older men, when they give a good invitation, a good exhortation, a good sermon, when they lead the Lord's table well, when they sing songs well? It's good to be led well. We enjoy doing that. But we can encourage and say, you've done well in doing what you're doing. And not all the time just giving them a pat on the back saying, oh, you done good, and you meet that checklist of patting somebody on the back telling them they've done good, but actually meaning, you've helped us today spiritually. You have done a great job. Men who lead us need to know that sometimes. As well, if we amongst us will raise up elders one day, we'll have elders amongst us, rather, don't we need to make sure that those who are going there are on track? That we want them to be able to lead us, to guide us? We do. God would say in several parts of His Scripture that we are sheep of His pasture. Psalm chapter 95, verse 7 would say, He is our God, we're the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you'll hear His voice and harden not your hearts, is in the day of provocation. And again, Psalm 100, verse 3, Know ye that the Lord, He is God, it is He that made us and not ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. If we're the sheep of His pasture today, don't we want the elders that could shepherd us to the kingdom of God in the future? Let's do our part then as a church to grow those who are going to be elders. Let's each individually, women, men, children, let's do our part to meet the Lord's requirement here for those things that are lacking. That's the whole idea about a body growing. If I know that I'm going to be hired to do a job and that I've got to do my job well, but I can't lift a certain amount of weight and my job requires it or I'm going to get fired, I want to start working out so that I can meet that requirement. I want to build up my body so that I can eventually meet what it is that the Lord has given me to do. I don't want to get fired from a job. I want to succeed. The same idea about a church growing up into the head of Christ. Where your weaknesses are, strengthen them. Where your strengths are, build them up even more. Just because they're strong doesn't mean they can't fall or fail. Build them up as you would your own body. Well, the idea then also about individuals. Let's look at this idea about what should be our attitude individually. And you might say, Kevin, you've already spoken about that. That pertains to the church. I don't rightly 100% agree with you. I think individually, those of us who are looking into raising up elders here, to bringing them here, to answer the call that God has given us into those things that are lacking, there's some individual work that needs to be done for a lot of us. Perhaps for even all of us. To those of us seeking elders out, what would you say to the wife of an elder? To the woman who possibly one day whose husband will be that elder? What would you tell that wife to do? Oh, just go out and have a good time. You know, your husband, he'll be an elder one day. No, Scripture is clearly telling us the idea there about what the wives of elders ought to do. Turn with me, if you would, to Titus chapter 1. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. And let's look there for a minute, because sometimes we might overlook this and class this into something where it ought not to be. But Scripture's pretty clear on this. 1 Timothy chapter 3. These are qualifications here that elders are to meet. He's supposed to have his own house well, and certainly the wife would fall into that house so that she ought to be seeking the spiritual things as well. And if an elder can't bring, or if a man is seeking the office of an elder, will have a wife that doesn't really care about spiritual things, he ought not to be an elder. But going even further than that, look with me there in chapter 3 of verse 12. What does the word likewise mean? It means the same as before, just like what we just said. That's what likewise means. Well, we see it twice there. I'm sorry, we see it there. We do see it twice there in verse 8. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money. So these are situations that deacons also, and we didn't really talk about them, but they're to be just like the elders in these things. Well, notice with me there in verse 11, again, the word likewise. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate in all things. Wives have a part in the eldership that their husbands have. Wives either build up or they tear down. Wives have an individual role that only the wives of a husband who's going to be an elder can help in. No other woman, no other man, wives of those who desire the office of an elder can help or destroy that one. So individually, you wives who are married to your husbands who desire that work, you have a big influence. You have a big part in what happens to your husband. If he desires it, Make it your goal that you desire it with Him, that He be that elder, and that He is able to meet these things that God has said. It's important. It's very important. Also, again, we're talking about the wives here. But children, again, we talked about the house being under rule with great all gravity. The husband of one wife having his children in submission. Again, you children who might be rebellious, you affect whether or not your father may lead the church. You affect that. You have that individual place. It's not me. I'm not the child of anybody here who can possibly be an elder. But you know who you are. You can work to help your father become that leader in the church. You individually, not another. The idea here about working toward it, that's what the individual who is part of the church here ought to do, to work toward those who are seeking that office, to help them get better individually. The idea there of 1 Peter chapter 5 talks about the shepherds of God, those that rule, ought to be considered of double honor. James chapter 3 verse 7 talks about the wisdom that comes from God. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. A lot of times we want the fruit of the Spirit in us, but we're not willing to yield individually. Those who have the desire to be in the office of an elder, if individually I don't like that person, I can't stand this one, or I have disagreements with them, I still need to be willing individually to yield to that one who desires that office. I need to do my part so that I can be yielding to the one, because he may rule over me one day. He may actually be one that is going to say, we must depart from this one. They're wayward. I've got to have an attitude of, well, I'm going to yield. Continuing on there with that idea about individuals, pray for those who desire it. Pray for that one who wants to be in that position. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, I therefore exhort that all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. That's everybody. Pray for these. And who are in authority in the church? Am I stretching to say that that authority only talks about those in the world? No, it talks about those in the church as well, and those who rule over us. So we need to pray for those. We have our part in building those up who are going to be elders. What about those particularly who are seeking the office of an elder? And this is my final point. Those who desire the office, we just read there in 1 Timothy, they desire a good work. What does that say then? Compare yourself to the Old Testament elders and see what they had to take part in. There were spiritual things there they needed to oversee. Be working toward that. Be working so that you can reach that if you desire it. Any goal that you desire to do that you can set your mind to achieve, that you can perceive to believe you can achieve, is how the old saying goes. But work toward it. Do your part to meet that. The men's meetings that we have in the back, we don't have elders qualified to oversee those men's meetings. But what kind of situation, what kind of attitude do we have toward the men's meetings that are overseeing the work here at the church? I know a lot of times men's meetings have ended up only about physical things, about the sidewalk, about the grass, about the tree needs to be cut down, about the roof leaking. And sometimes those same meetings never ended with, but let's be concerned about spiritual things. Let's have an idea that I want to know about brother so-and-so. He's slipping. We need to do something, brethren, to encourage him. Those are times and opportunities when you men who desire that position can work toward it. We don't need to just meet as the men of the group here to discuss the physical things about the building, about whatever, the lawnmower. We need to be more concerned about the spiritual things. And those spiritual happenings that are going on amongst the church. And I'm not slighting anybody. I'm not saying, y'all, shame on y'all, but that's what the elders do. The elders aren't only concerned about the physical things. They're concerned more about the spiritual things because they're shepherding the flock of God. Young boys, you may think, Mr. Kevin, I've got 30, 40, 50, 70 years before I become an elder. This is a good work. It's something the Lord has said is a good work. It's good. He's given us His words to say, the man that desires this, you children aren't men yet. One day you'll be. But at the same time, it's a good thing if you think, I can help this church grow. I can help the spiritual welfare of the brethren here, and I can do that. It's a great thing. Don't ever underestimate. This is a thing that the Lord wants in His church. Also, keeping in the idea about us men who want that position. The Lord Himself, described there in Luke chapter 9. I did want to go ahead and read it, but time is getting short. Read that and study that with the mindset of elders. Luke chapter 9, verses 46 through 48. Because He says there, He who is greatest amongst you is going to be least. The idea of an elder is not to be chief and to be a head honcho, but it's to be a servant and it's to help. Rule willingly. 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 through 5 tells us, don't rule because there has to be a need there. We've been talking about those things that are lacking. There has to be something to fill that gap. But don't do it just because there has to be something to fill that gap. Do it because you want to help the people of the Lord here to grow into that head, which is Christ, and that you want their souls saved, and that you want to shepherd the flock of God amongst you. That's what I wanted to present to you this morning. There's a lot of things that I didn't say and didn't go into detail of, and I just wish I had more time. I told Mandy, I'm just not going to have enough time to finish this. If you want some of the notes that I prepared, if you want to study with me more, if something I've said that is in disagreement with the Word of God, let me know. But I've been anxious, I've been expecting and looking forward to bringing this lesson to you because I'm excited about it. I'm one of those who desires that office, but again, seeing the qualifications and where I am, I need help. I need your prayers. I need your encouragement. And I don't need you just to say, oh, there's Kevin. You know how he is. He doesn't do this or that. I need you to encourage me. I need you to admonish me when I need it. I need you to help me grow. That's part of what this lesson's been about this morning. Those that desire that office, they desire good work. They need encouragement too. They don't just need to fill those positions. Again, we all have our individual parts that we can be doing to help elders to grow into that office. I'd ask you to pray for each one of us who are desiring that work. Pray for those who need to fill up to those qualifications, who are slipping and slurring, but at the same time could meet them. Pray for those also, individual members of this church, and be mindful of that. That's the lesson this morning, and I wanted to give it to you all again out of encouragement, and just I was excited about it. I hope I've made sense in it. The song that's been selected, number 196, is that correct? 196? We'll sing that in just a moment.